All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Another incredible, beautiful daf of Maseches Chulin ahead of us. Today's daf is Hey. I know that I want to thank Rabbi Yehuda for giving the shiur yesterday. I know you got a little bit down on Hey Amud Aleph. We're actually going to start from the top of the daf. Mamish, the first line. So remember, again, we're in the middle of a riveting discussion regarding whether or not a mumer la'avodas kochavim, which is a Jew who worships idolatry, and is a habitual, not just like a recreational idol worshiper, but mamish like a shtark idol worshiper, is such an individual fit, is such an individual shchita, fit for consumption. So Rav Anan told us in the name of Shmuel that he saw mumar la'avodos kochavim mutar le'achol mishchitaso. So the Gemara is actually bringing a raya from this, from where? From the interesting episode that you saw on the bottom of Amud Beis yesterday with Yehoshaphat and Achav. That it appears that Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, ate from the shchita of Achav, Melech Yisrael. Achav ultimately again was, unfortunately, an incredible Ovei Avodah Zarah. Although remember, the amazing part is that when you study the story of Achav in Navi, it will say there's a body of Judaic knowledge called Navi that sometimes people think is only allowed to be learned by women. Just like Zohar can only be learned by people over 40. So, you know, Navi can only be... So there's a whole piece of Jewish history that's contained in Navi, which is actually quite fascinating. And when you go ahead and you study the story of Achav, you actually learn about a man who had a really very good neshama, but who unfortunately just could not get out of his own way. And even in those moments when he had nisoris to do tshuva, it's actually a very riveting story. His story is very much the story of the human condition. So the fact that Yehoshaphat went ahead and ate from the shchit of Achav would seem to indicate to us that a Jew is permitted to go ahead and eat of the shchit of a mumar la'avodos kochavim. So the Gemara says, "Lahava maflig nafshi minei minayin." Top line of the of Ham and Aleph. So how do we know that Yehoshaphat? So we'll say literally the Havamaflik Nafshik Minay means Yehoshaphat did not distance himself from Achav at all. So says the Gemara ultimately again, where do we know that from? Minalan, from where do we know that? To which the Gemara says, Ilema midichsiv kamoni kamocha kaami kamecha. So maybe it's because that ultimately Yehoshaphat says to Achav, kamoni kamocha, well, like me is like you. Ka'ami ka'amecha, my nation is like your nation. So we'll say, if you understand what, we'll define what that possibly means in just a moment, but the Gemara is saying, maybe what that means is, Yehoshaphat is saying to Achav, essentially whatever is good for you is good for me. Right? And therefore again, that's a raya that Yehoshaphat is eating of the shchita even of Achav. Ela me'ata kisusi kisusecha, hachanami, but yet he says, like, my horse is your horse. So obviously, what is Yehoshaphat actually saying? Ela, rather, we'll say what Yehoshaphat was saying to Achav was as follows. Ela ma'ada haviasusecha tehaviasusi. Rather, we'll say, remember again, Achav is trying to get Yehoshaphat's alliance in going to war against Aram. That's what was unfolding over here. So really, when Yehoshaphat says to Achav, Kisusi kisusecha means what? We share the same fate. Whatever will happen to your horses will happen to my horses. Hachanami madahavi alecha v'iloi amecha ameich tievi alai v'ilavi ami. So ultimately, again, what Yehoshaphat was saying to Achav is, whatever will happen to me will happen to you. Or really, whatever happened to you will happen to me. Whatever will happen to your nation will happen to my nation. Whatever will happen to your horses will happen to my horses. This, I will say, was Yehoshaphat's pledge of allegiance to Achav. We will go to war against Aram together. And whatever will occur, will occur. But the point over here is, kamoni kamocha kami kamecha is not a raya that Yehoshaphat ate of Achav shchita. Because Rabbi Yosef, remember again, he's pledging his allegiance to the war effort against Aram. Not necessarily that he's willing to eat of Achav. So you must say, sometimes you have to strike strategic alliances with people who are not aligned with you ideologically, right? What is it? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right? So we'll say, so again, just because Yehoshaphat is saying to Achav, we're going to go to war together, right? I'm pledging allegiance to you to go out to war. It does not mean that he's eating of his shchita. Rather, Gemara says, you're right. Rather, here is where we see that Yehoshaphat did indeed eat of the shchita of Achav. Where does he see it? Umelech Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda Yoshvim ish al kiso milubashim begadim begoren pesach shar shomron. Both said this is amazing. So imagine this scene. The Melech Yisrael Achav and Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, are sitting, each of them on their throne. Milubashim begadim, adorned in their monarchical clothing, Begoren, we're going to translate the words here because the words are very important. Begoren in threshing floor, Pesach Shar Shomron, at the entrance way to the Shomron. So says the Gemara, my Goren, what's the threshing floor, right? What is this reference to? What's the threshing floor? So the Gemara says, Ilema Goren Mamish, if you want to say that it's literally a threshing floor, Atu Shar Shomron Goren Hava, was the entrance way of Shomron a threshing floor? What does it mean, the entrance way? Meaning, remember, just historically, you wouldn't have a threshing floor at the entranceway of the city. So what does it mean? There's a threshing floor at the entranceway of the city, to which the Gemara says, Elaki Goren. Rather, what it means is they were sitting at the entranceway of the city that was like a threshing floor. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Kichatzi Goren. Kigoren. Rather, both say they were sitting like a threshing floor. Look at Rashi. Kigoren, how you? Yoshin Bichiba Bereyasu Baguda Kisanhedrin Shin Choshtin Zedze. Rather, both says, you're going to see in just a moment that Yehoshaphat and Achav were sitting at the entranceway of the city with brotherly love and togetherness. What does that do with a threshing floor? Here we go. So the Gemara says, Disnan Sanhedrin Haisa Kichatzi Goren Agula. Well, said when the Sanhedrin would sit, it's actually quite fascinating. The Sanhedrin would sit in a semicircle. In a semicircle. Kechatzi Goren Agula, Chiyuroen Ze'edze. So, as I said, the Kigoren ultimately in this reference does not refer to a threshing floor, rather, it refers to a semicircle. And interestingly enough, so when the Sanhedrin would meet, the Sanhedrin would dafka sit in a semicircle formation. Why would the Sanhedrin sit in a semicircle formation? It's actually quite beautiful. Look at Rashi. Shiro and Zedzer, Rashi says, because remember, again, they sat in a semicircle so that all of the judges of the Sanhedrin should be able to see each other. Rashi says, Lios shomin ish devar chaveiro umisfachin zemzem, so that everyone would be able to hear his fellow's argument and they would be able to argue with each other. And they would argue until when? They would argue until they got to the definitive horah, to the definitive psak halacha. She'ilu hayu yoshim gishura, Rashi says, because if the Sanhedrin sat in a straight line, shelo ba'agula, not in a semicircle, ein b'nei rosh ashur ro'am b'nei sof shuraso. The people on the one side of the line wouldn't be able to see the people on the other side of the line. Therefore, again, they wouldn't sit in a full circle either. Why not? Because if other people had to come to present to the Sanhedrin, you wanted people to be able to come in and to be able to present. If it was a circle, it's a closed circuit, the presenters cannot face everyone. So this is actually quite interesting. So the Sanhedrin would sit in a semicircle. So what it's saying over here is that when Yehoshaphat and, so we'll say, so the goat, when it says they sat like a goat, and the goat is a reference to the semicircle. So Yehoshaphat and Achav sat in a semicircle, I guess, with their advisors, demonstrative of their love and mutual respect for one another. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesei Alei, so we'll say, let's go weiter. So remember, we're trying to prove Rav Anan's point. And Rav Anan's point ultimately is what? Rav Anan's point was, so we'll say, so I'm just pointing out, Goren in this context doesn't mean a threshing floor. Goren in this context means a semicircle. So, but again, remember, why are we bringing all of this up? We're bringing all of this up because Halacha Lamaisa, we're trying to prove Rav Anan's point that a Mumer La'avodos Kochavim has the ability to go ahead and do Shechita. So all what we've seen is that Yehoshaphat and Achav were very close to one another. They had a feeling of mutual respect. Does that mean that Yehoshaphat ate of Achav's Shechita? So we'll say, so this doesn't seem to be as conclusive of a proof as we thought it would be. So Le'em says, so we'll say the Gemara brings another raya. What's the other raya? V'ha'arvim neviim lo lechem u'basar ba'boker, lechem u'basar ba'era. So we'll say, now what's this reference to? This is when Eliyahu HaNavi was hiding from Achav. So let's remember again, Achav and Izebel are killing out all of the Nevi'im. Now, Achav has a specific distaste for Eliyahu. Why? Because Eliyahu was the one who decreed a famine and a drought, really a drought, amongst the lands of Achav. So Eliyahu HaNavi is in hiding. How is Eliyahu HaNavi eating? So the ravens are bringing him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat at night. Not terrible, right? Right, bread and meat, tonight, bread and meat in the morning. So what happens? So we'll say, the first kasher everybody asks, so new, who's the Rav HaMachshir? Who's the Rav HaMachshir, right? I'm saying, where is the food coming from? So we'll say, this is amazing. So we'll say, where was the bread and meat coming from? It was coming from Achav's kitchen. Achav's kitchen. So we'll say, so first of all, the irony of ironies, that here Eliyahu Navi is hiding from Achav, he's being sustained from Achav's very kitchen, from the Basra Mechem of Achav. But we'll say, but for our purposes, what does that show us? The Navi is eating of the Shechita of Achav. Achav is a mumer level, this kochavim. So what do you see from here? You see from here that a Jew is permitted to eat of the shechita of a mumer level, this kochavim. To which the Gemara says, no, I'm not sure that's exactly a geraya. Apiha dibor shiny. But we'll say, this obviously is a bit different over here. Why? Because this entire circumstance is being orchestrated by the Ribono Shel Olam. Take a look at Rashi. Api dibor shiny. Shakodesh Baruch Hu Hitiru Lefi Shah. See, Rabosai, what's interesting about this story that the Gemara suggests is that this could have been what's called a Hora'as Shah. Hora'as Shah means what? That sometimes under extreme circumstances, certain things are permitted which would not normally be permitted. So in the normal circumstances, you would need not eat of the shechita of a mumer la'avodos kochavim. This was a Hora'as Shah. Rashi says, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Hitiru Lefi Shah. So we'll say it could just very well be Hora'a Shah. We'll say now Hora'a Shah doesn't mean that the food of Achav wasn't kosher. It's possible that the food of Achav was kosher. What it teaches us is you can't learn out everlasting halacha from this particular episode. This was an ace, this was a miraculous intervention, therefore I can't learn anything from it. So Gemara just asks, by the way, my Arvin, but say, what does it mean when it says the Arvin? So Ravina Arvin Mamish. Ravina says Arvin means ravens. Amalir of Adabar Minui, the Dilma Tre Garvi Davishmayo Arvin. Maybe Arvin is actually the name of people, and maybe just their both of their names was Arvin. I know it means raven. Milok siv vayargues orev bitzor orev ve'esev. So Rabbi said the Gemara over here quotes a pasuk from Shoftim that there was a guy by the name of Orev. So we see Orev was a name, maybe not amongst the most popular, but it was a name. So there may be Arvim over here. It doesn't mean ravens, but it means people whose name was Orev. So the Gemara says Amarlei v'ishamayim milsel de travayu havashmayu Arvim. So he says to him, come on, is it really possible? Okay, even if you want to say that Orev was a name, is it really logical to think that both of their names, that there happened to be two guys, both of whose names was Arvim or Orev, that's why, so I'll say, what's the statistical probability of two people both having the name Orev being selected by the ones who are going to bring Eliyahu HaNavi's food each and every day? Doesn't seem to be probable. The Dilma Al Shemikoman. So I'll say maybe Orev is not their name, but maybe Orev is the name where they came from. Maybe Orev was the name of a city, and they're being identified not by their personal names, but rather again they're being identified by their place of origin, by their city. Milok Sir, and we see examples of this, of people being identified by the being called by the name of their city, not necessarily by their own personal name. Milok Siv Va'aram Yatsu Gidudim Vayeshvu Me'eretz Yisrael Na'ara Kitana. So we'll say the Navi here tells a story of Aram going out to war against Kal Yisrael, and they took captive a Na'ara Kitana. Now, both say, what's the problem with Na'ara Kitana? It's two inherently contradictory terms. V'kashyalan, Karele Na'ara, the Karele Kitana. See, now, both say, remember again, a Na'ara, is a girl who is more than 12 years old, almost 6 months. A Kitana is a girl who is less than 12 years old. So which one is it? Is she a Na'ara? Is she a Kitana? Vam Rabbi Pedas, it's not a contradiction. Kitana dimin ni'uran. She was a Kitana, she was a minor girl who was from the city of Nu'uran. So you see from here, that people are identified by their place of origin. So maybe when it says the Arvin brought Elio his food, ultimately what? It's referring to people, not to ravens. It's referring to people who were from the city of Orev. Imkain Arvim Mibayle. So we'll say if that's the case, then it should not have said Arvim, but rather again Arvim. Arvim would have been the proper grammatical form to mean people from the city of Orev. The fact that it calls them Arvim, the Gemara understands, literally means that it was the ravens who brought Eliyahu HaNavi food each and every day. So we'll say, what comes out from this particular piece is Eliyahu HaNavi was sustained from the kitchen of Achav. That's for sure. What we can't learn out from this is any type of everlasting halacha. Why api dibur shiny? As Rashi points out, Torah Shabbosai, this just could have been extenuating circumstances, and therefore, again, you can't learn out halacha l'doridoros from this situation. Weiter. Let me say, so we'll say again, we're still trying to figure out, is Rav Anan correct or not? Rav Anan said that a mumr la'avodos kochavim is mutar lecho mishchitoso. Ultimately, again, you're allowed to eat from his shchita. So says the Gemara, let me see this. We'll see, here we go. Hakol shochtin. Everyone is permitted to shecht. Afilu kusi. So we'll see, actually, the Gemara over here is quoting from the brayt that we had on yesterday's daf on Dalet Amud Beis. Hakol shochtin. Everyone is permitted to shecht. Vafilu kusi, even a kusi. Vafilu arel, even an uncircumcised person. Vafilu yisrael mumr. And we'll see, even a yisrael mumr. So says the Gemara, let's analyze this. Hai arel hechi dami. What's the case of arel here? What's the case of Arel? So we'll say, if we say that it's a case of a person whose brothers died machmas milo, we know the Gemara talks about this. What's the situation? Hemophilia. So say, again, this was mesu achma machmas milo. There was some type of disorder in the family. Again, Chazal, the Gemara didn't know what it was called. The Gemara didn't know what it was, but they recognized that there was something genetic in the family. Now again, remember, that was established, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, is it two older brothers who Nebuch died, three older brothers who Nebuch died? That's the discussion, is halacha established by two or by three different, but either way, the point over here is, mesu achma machmas midrabosai, so that's why this child or this person is uncircumcised. Remember again, there's a mitzvah bris milah, but am I obligated to go ahead and risk my life for the mitzvah bris milah? No. So mesu achav machmas midrabosai, we tell that person to remain uncircumcised. If he's uncircumcised because his older brothers died as a result of the milah, yisra ma'al yuhu, he's a full-fledged Jew. He's a full-fledged Jew. Ela pshita mumra la'arelos. Rather, we'll say it has to be that the Yisrael mumra, the arel over here is talking about what type of case? Mumra la'arelos. Rather, we'll say it's not mesu ach mach masmila. Why doesn't he have a bris mila? Why doesn't he have a bris mila? He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in it. Right? He's making a conscientious objector. Right? He doesn't believe in the mitzvah of Mila, and therefore, again, that's why he's an RL. So Rabbi says, so now, watch this. Say, Ema Seifa. So Rabbi says, so now what you're going to tell me is, remember, and what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said that an RL is permitted to go ahead and shecht. Now you're telling me that the case of RL is a mumer la'arelos, is a yisro who purposely and defiantly rejects the mitzvah of bris milah. So let's analyze this. Ema Seifa, look at the end of that braisa. Vafili yisrael mumer. So we'll say, remember again, the end of the braisa says, even a yisrael mumer is permitted to go in and do shechita. Sehichi dami. So we'll say, what's the case of a yisrael mumer? E mumer ledavar echad. If you want to say it's a yisrael who's a mumer ledavar echad, we'll say, what does a mumer ledavar echad mean? It means that I accept the Torah except for this. Meaning there's a particular mitzvah that I actively reject and repudiate. That's called the Mumer Ledavar Echad. So I accept 612 mitzvahs, but there's one mitzvah that I mamish, I reject it. I reject it. So we'll say, if you say that the Yisrael Mumer case is a Mumer Ledavar Echad, then that's the equivalent of what? A Mumer La'arelos. Because we'll say, what is a Mumer La'arelos? What is a Mumer Lamila? He's a Mumer Ledavar Echad. I accept 612, I reject Bris Mila. If that's the case, then the Braisa is saying the same case twice. Ela lav mumer lav of those kachavim. Rather, when the Braisa says that even a Yisrael mumer has a right to go ahead and do shchit and a shchit as kshera, it must be what? It must be a mumer la'avodos kochavim ukidirav anan. And Rabbi said this hereby backs up the position of Rav Anan that halacha lemaisa, a mumer, a Yisrael mumer la'avodos kochavim is permitted in fact to do shchita. To which the Gemara says, lo. No. Li'olam emulacha mumer la'avodos kochavim lo. In reality, I'm going to tell you that a mumer la'avodos kochavim is not permitted to do shechita. The amar mar, because we'll say, here we go, first white line, hey amad aleph, chamura avodos kochavim, we'll say, avodos zara, is obviously very chamur, is very stringent. In other words, we'll say, really stringent, it's very severe. It is a very severe infraction. Shek, so we'll say, so the Gemara shows the severity in a positive way. Shekala kofer ba, Because Moshe ever actively rejects and repudiates Avodah Zarah, Kimode b'chala Torah kula. If you actively reject and repudiate Avodah Zarah, Moshe, then what? It's as if you have actively accepted the entire Torah. Now, Rabbosai, now understand, the reverse of that is true as well, which is, therefore, if I go and I accept Avodah Zarah, then what? Then what? It's as if I've actively and fully rejected and repudiated Torah. Now, Rabbosai, there is this inverse relationship between Avodah Zarah and Torah. If I reject Avodah Zarah, the mere rejection of Avodah Zarah represents an acceptance of Torah. Conversely, if I chas v'shalom accept Avodah Zarah, then I've actively rejected and repudiated Torah. So both sides, the Gemara says, so therefore, again, logic would dictate that what? That a mumar la'avodas kochavim, his shechita would not be good. Because how could we accept the shechita of someone who actively rejects Torah? So we'll say, again, it's an illogical stance. Elo, mumr la'osa davar. Rather, we'll say, what you have to say is that, what are we talking about over here? Rashi says, mumr la'osa davar, l'shchita. Rather, when the Mishnah says that we accept the shchita of a Yisrael mumr, what type of mummer is that, Rabosai? For a Jew who is a mummer to Shechita, for the mitzvah of Shechita. Rabosai, this goes back to the second daf we had in this Masechta, which was that you could have a Jew who's what's called a mummer l'te'avon. Mummer le'echol nevelos l'te'avon. Which is a type of Jew who's not makbid on Shechita. If you give me the check knife, of course I'll do it right. But if I don't have a check knife, or if there's not kosher meat easily available, I'll just as easily eat something non-kosher. Just right, that's the case of Mumar Le'echol. So we'll say that's the case of a Yisrael Mumar. If he goes ahead and he does the Shechita, that Shechita is Ukshel. Look at Rashi. Mumar Le'osa Davar, the Shechita Ola Te'avon. When the Brisa says that a Yisrael mummer, you can eat from the shechita, what type of mummer is that? That's a mummer, l'te'avon le'echol nevelos. A Jew who, if he doesn't have readily available kosher meat, will eat non-kosher meat. If he has a choice between the two, which one will he take? Which one will he take? The kosher meat. Will he run after a kosher sakin to go out and do shechita? No. But if you put it in his hand, he'll absolutely use it. So such a Jew like that, you set him up for success, ultimately you can eat from his shechita. Okay, the Rava. I must listen to this. Okay, the Rava. And ultimately, again, reflects the view of Rava. To which the Gemara says, Meisve. So I must remember again, that was Rava's interpretation of the Mishnah. Remember again, I must say, going back to the five-way machlokis, about how to interpret Akol Shochtin, Rava was the one who said that Akol Shochtin ultimately, again, referred to a mumer le'echol nevelos l'te'avon. Here we go, I must say, Meisve. So the Gemara is another kasha. Mikem. So the Gemara now is quoting over the pasuk. Dabrel b'nei Yisov amarta aleim. Adam kiyakriv mikem. Karban Lashem, mina behema, mina bakar, mina tzon takribas karban chem. So the pasuk says, mikem, when a person from amongst you will go ahead and bring a karban. So this is talking about over here, a neder or a nedava. So mikem means, velo kulchem. So mikem means, from amongst you will bring a karban, which teaches me, not everyone could bring a karban. What does that mean, not everybody could bring a karban? Who's excluded from bringing a karban? Lohotzi es hamumer. Rabosai, to exclude a mummer, that a mummer is not permitted to go ahead and bring a karban, even a karban nedava. So the Gemara says, mikem, furthermore, the word says mikem, from amongst you, bachem chelakti v'lo b'umos. Furthermore, it is only in the Jewish people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has distinguished that there are some who can bring a karban, some who cannot bring a karban. However, v'lo b'umos, Rabosai, not amongst the nations of the world. Which Rabosai means what? This is actually quite fascinating. We could accept karbanos from non-Jews. And if we'll say if a non-Jew sends a karban to the Beis Hamikdash, we could accept it. Even if what? Even if he's the high priest for some Avodah Zarah. But a Jew, we could only accept a karban from Jews who do not engage in Avodah Zarah. If a Jew engages, a Jew engages in Avodah Zarah, we cannot go and accept his karban. We'll say, isn't that fascinating? From an akum, we don't check his spiritual credentials, his theological credentials. If he sends it in, we can accept it. Yisrael, mikem, only certain members of Klal Yisrael can we accept karbanos from. But unfortunately, again, if a Jew is a mumar la'avodas kochavim, we can't accept his karban. Mina behema, for them are again, the Pasuk says, Mina Behema. Ultimately, again, if you look at Rashi, by the way, Rashi says, Mikem Bachem Chalakti Klomar Midichsir. Actually, if you skip down to the last line of that Rashi, of Mikem Bachem Chalakti, in the wide lines of Rashi, third line in, Shmamina Bachem Chalakti Shaksherim Mivian Belo Hamumrin. Rabosei, within Klal Yisrael, it's only the Ksherim. And again, Rabosei, I want to point out, by the way, Ksherim and Klal Yisrael, it casts a very wide net. Right? Who are the Ksherim and Klal Yisrael? As long as you're not worshipping idolatry. So, yeah, you know, it's a pretty wide net. So the Ksherim, V'lo bu'umos, shekulan misnan v'mekalan. So isn't that amazing? So Mikem means, from amongst you and Klal Yisrael, there are some who can bring Karbanos, some who can't. For the nations of the world, anyone who wants to bring a carbon can bring a carbon. Klal Yisrael, only a person who is not the mumr la'avodos kocham can bring a carbon, but if you're mumr la'avodos kocham, you cannot. Mina behema, we'll say aman hema dalif, third wide line in, mina behema, from in the animals, la'havi b'nei adam shadomen la'behema. We'll say this comes to include people who are like behemoths. What does that mean? Rashi says, "Im adomen lebehema she'ein mekaymin es hamitzvos." So we'll say, ultimately, again, "mina behema" means that, unfortunately, if you have people who are like behemos, Rashi says, i.e., that do not perform karbanos, they're like "mina behema." So the Gemara says, "mikan amru." So we'll say, what do we see from here? "Mikan amru." This is the incredible Gemara. "Mikan amru mekablin karbanos miposhe Yisrael." So I want to point something out. Mina Behema teaches me that what? I can go ahead and accept karbanos from Jews who are even like behemoths. Rabbi say, who are Jews who are like behemoths? Jews who do not observe mitzvos. It's a pretty strong musar, right? If I don't observe mitzvos, then I'm no different than a behema. In other words, behemoths do their thing also. They have physical lives without a spiritual component. If I live my life without Torah, I live a life without mitzvos. So again, it doesn't make me bad. It just makes me like a behemoth. So we'll say, watch this. So from here, what do you see? Mikan amru, from here you see, mekablon karbanos miposhe Yisrael. That we accept karbanos from Jews who are sinners, kedei shiyachziru bahen b'tshuva, in order that what? In order that we should facilitate their tshuva. Rabbi, this is an incredible, incredible idea. You see, Rabbi, you understand what the havamina of the Gemara is? You understand what's happening over here? The havamina of the Gemara is that we shouldn't accept karbanos from Jews who sin. Right? How can you allow a Jew who sins to bring a karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi say, but what do you understand? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everyone close to him. You have to facilitate people's return. So how do you facilitate people's return? Very simple. Keep the door open. Keep the door open. See, even a Yisrael who's a poshea, even a Yisrael who is a sinner, ultimately, again, we accept karbanos from him. There's an exception. Who's the exception? Chutz min ha-mumer. U'menasech es hayayin u'mechalal shabbosos befarhesya. We'll say there are exceptions to this rule. Exceptions to this rule are people who actively and fundamentally repudiate a connection to Yiddishkeit and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you are a mumer, let's assume for a moment, this is talking about Avodah Zarah. If you're a mumer, if I was a Zarah, Menaseh Chesayah means you actively offer wine libations to Avodah Zarah, U'mechalal Shabbos Befarhesya, and you actively and publicly desecrate Shabbos. So we'll say, obviously, the Mechalal Shabbos Befarhesya is someone who is doing this not out of a lack of knowledge, but as someone who knows exactly what he's doing and is doing it in order to make a statement that he does not accept Shabbos, that he does not accept the tenet. It's not talking about someone who doesn't know, or someone who doesn't understand, or someone who's not struggling with this. This is an act of theological repudiation. So we'll say, so you understand how incredible this is. So if you're a poshea, so we learn out, even if you're like the behema, we could accept the karban. But there are certain things which fundamentally fracture your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avodah Zarah, Menaseh Yayin, Chilul Shabbos Befarhesya, where the Gemara says we can't accept your karbanos. So the Gemara says, but I understand there's an inherent contradiction. Haguf Akashya, Amarta Mikem V'lo Kulchem Lotzi Es HaMumer. So on one hand, you said that if the point of positive says Mikem, means Adam Mikem, a person from amongst you, which tells us that not all Jews are permitted to bring karbanos. So who is excluded from the ability to bring a karban? Lahotzi Es HaMumer. That excludes the mumer. But yeah, what did you say in the next line? V'hadr Tani, Mekablin Karbanos Miposhe Yisrael. So we'll say, what did the next line say? The next line said, you can accept karbanos even from sinners. Why? Why do we accept karbanos even from sinners? To facilitate return. So which one is it? Halok, Gemara says, Halok Asya, Reisha Mumer L'Chol HaTorah Kula, Mitziasa mumar ledavar echad. So we'll say there's a chilik, right? There's a mumar with a capital mem and a mumar with a lowercase mem. If you're a mumar lechalat or a kula, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We'll say, you know, what's interesting is, like any life relationship, if you want to mend it, you have to put something into this as well. If you're a mumar lechalat or a kula, we're not accepting your carbon. We're not accepting your carbon. Because if you're a mumar lechalat or a kula, what are you doing? What are you doing? You want a relationship? Then what are you doing to facilitate the relationship? Right? If you're a mumar lechal tarakula, you need to take some steps. So mumar lechal tarakula, we're not going to accept that person's carbon. But a mumar ledavar echad, that we will accept your carbon. That's poshe Yisrael. He's a Jew who's a sinner. We're going to accept your carbon to facilitate tshuva. Same with sefer. But then let's look at the sefer of that same braisa. Chutz min amumar umenase chesayan mechal shabbos before hasya. What do the braisa say? With the exception of a mumar, a menasei chesayayin, one person who offers wine libations to idolatry, and one who violates Shabbos befar hesya. Let's analyze this. In this context, Rabbi say, hi mumar hechidami. What's the case of mumar in this situation? So the Gemara says, I mumar l'chala Torah kula. If you want to say that it's a mumar for everything, l'chala Torah kula, hainu reisha. Then Rabbi say, that's the same statement as reisha. Remember again, Rabbi say, what's the halacha with a mumar l'chala Torah kula? What's the halacha? We do not accept his karbanos at all. So if you're telling me again that the mumar of the seifa is the same thing as the mumar of the reisha, why do you need to restate it? The imumar ladavar echad, and if you want to say it's mumar ladavar echad, which means what? A Yisrael who just actively rejects and repudiates one mitzvah, then what, Rabosai? We have a contradiction. What's the contradiction? Kasha mitzyasa. See, Rabosai, the seifa is now telling me that even a mumar ladavar echad, what? Can't offer a carbon, but we just said before that's what Omer Mudavar Echad can offer a carbon. So what's going on over here? Elalav Hachikamar. This is what it means to say. So here we go. This is Alach Lamaisa. Alach Hachikamar. Chutz min hamumar lenasech es hayayin ulechalel shabbosas befar hesya. See, Rabbi say, listen to this. Even though under normal circumstances, the way we normally say it is as follows: that if you are a mumar ledavar echad, if you are a mumar ledavar echad, will we accept your karban? Yes, except if the one mitzvah you repudiate is either what lenasech es hayayin, which Rabbi say refers to what avodah zara. So if you happen to be that your mumar ledavar echad is avodah zara, or your mumar ledavar echad Rabbi say is what is Shabbos, those are deal breakers. Those are deal breakers with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, again, understanding Avodah Zarah is obvious, because if I accept Avodah Zarah, then by definition, again, I can't have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos, so we'll say, we're going to get into this more, but Shabbos, of course, is a fundamental underpinning and cornerstone to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I am a mummer, ultimately, again, to be mechalal these things, then that's considered to really be, even though it's quote-unquote, a mummer ledavar echad. I'm keeping everything else. I'm just not keeping Avodah Zarah or Shabbos. In a halachic sense, to a certain degree, it renders you as a mummer l'chala Torah kula. And therefore, we'll say, what's the halacha of someone who is a mummer l'chala Torah kula? What's the status of his... First of all, what's karbanos? Can you offer karban? No. And presumably, again, it also means that his shechita will not be valid as well. Alma! Mumar la'avodas kochavim have a mumar l'chol ha'torah kula. Rather, I will say, what do you see? That a mumar la'avodas kochavim is in fact considered to be a mumar l'chol ha'torah kula utiyufta derev anan tiyufta. And ultimately, again, I will say, the Gemara effectively refutes the position of Rav Anan. Remember again, Rav Anan said that mumar la'avodas kochavim mutter le'echol mishchitaso. The Gemara has effectively refuted that position and has understood that a mumar la'avodas kochavim, Rabosai, you can't accept his karbanos, and his shchita is invalid as well. Now, Rabosai, now obviously the Gemara made another dramatic statement about a mumar lechalal Shabbos befarhesya. Now, it sounds like the mumar lechalal Shabbos befarhesya is in the same boat as the mumar la'avodas kochavim. So we're gonna see that more a little bit. But at least, remember again, we're not so worried about Chilul Shabbos right now. Our purpose right now was Rabbanan's statement. So we're both saying what it seems to be clear according to the Gemara, at least at this moment, is a mumar la'avodas kochavim, is a mumar l'chala Torah kula, and therefore by definition, his shechita will be invalid. Good. So the Gemara says, v'hami hachan afka. So we'll say, now we're going back for just a moment, because remember, we introduced the whole karbanos thing over here. So we'll say, so now the Gemara just learned out from this word mikem, right? V'lo kulchem, that's what? That we do not accept karbanos from a mumer. So the Gemara says, do we learn that from here? Bahame hacha nafka? Do we learn that you don't can't accept a carbon from a mumma from here? Mehasam nafka. Bose, we learn that from there. Where's the there? Amud beis. Me'am ha'aretz. Bose, the pasuk says, by carbon chatos. Vim nefesh achos techet ha'bishkaga me'am ha'aretz. Ba'asosa achos mi'mitzos Hashem, mi'mitzos Hashem, asher lo te'asena va'ashem. So Bose, so the pasuk dashes me'am ha'aretz. Now, me'am ha'aretz means, the way the Gemara is dashing over here, from amongst the indigenous people, Klal Yisrael. Rashi says, Me'am v'lo kol am. V'gabe chatos k'siv shebay dishog. So supposed to remember again, you bring Kram and Chatos for something. Had I done it intentionally, it would carry a chi of Misa. If I do it b'shogeg, I bring a carbon chatos. So the Gemara is understanding the following from here. Me'am, Rabbi Hosei, means that what? There are only certain people who bring a carbon chatos, but other people may not bring a carbon chatos. So what's the pshat? Who can bring a chatos? Who doesn't bring a chatos? So watch this. Me'am ha'aretz prat lo mumer. Rabbi Hosei, this comes to exclude a mumer, that a mumer is not permitted to bring a carbon chatos. Okay, let's analyze this. Rabbi Shimon Yosi Omer Shimon Rabbi Shimon Asher lo te'asena bishkaga va'ashem. So what's that? So the pasuk says, also, and this is actually by the carbon of the nasi. Asher nasi yechta va'asa achas mikomitzos Hashem asher lo te'asena bishkaga va'ashem. So we'll say this is the chatos of the nasi. Same parasha of the chatos, but watch this. So the Gemara says, this is Rabbi Shimon ben Yosi saying in the name of Rabbi Shimon. A fundamental idea. Watch this. They will say, who brings a carbon chatos? Again, this, even though he's bringing it up here from the Nasi, but this is creating for us a very important criteria. Who is the person who brings a carbon chatos? So here we go. Hashav miyidiyaso, mevi carbon al shigagaso. Eno shav miyidiyaso, eno mevi carbon al shigagaso. They will say, watch this. Who brings a carbon chatos? Someone who, had he known that what he was doing was wrong, would not have done it. That's the person who brings a chatos. But someone, Abosai, even had it been pointed out to him that what he's doing is wrong, he would still what? Continue to do it? That type of person does not bring a carbon chatos. So that's Lashon. Hashav miyidiyaso, someone who, had he been given the knowledge prior to the commission of the act that what he was doing was wrong, would refrain from doing it. Maybe carbon shigaso, eno shav miyidiyaso. But I must say, had he been told that hey, what you're doing is wrong, he would have done it anyway. Bless you. Anyway, maybe carbon shigaso, he does not go ahead and bring a carbon on his shkaga. So I'll say va'aminan, and we said my benayim. So I'll say, so both of them seem to be kind of saying the same idea, which is what. So I'll say, so we had over here the first price of the Rabbanan teaching us. Me'am ha'aretz prat l'mumer. Rabbi Shimon Yosi is bringing it out from Asher lo te'asena bishkaga. So what's the nafkin? I will say they both seem to be saying the same thing. My benayu, my ben Abrahamuna, mumer le'echol chelev. It's actually a fascinating case. Mumer le'echol chelev ve'hevi karbano al dam ike benayu. So let's listen to the nafkamina case. Let's say you have a Jew who is a mumer le'echol chelev. Which I will say means what? That he eats chelev. He just does not believe in the biblical prohibition. Everybody has their weakness, right? Against chelev. He doesn't believe in it. It's ridiculous. So he eats chelev. He eats chelev. Rabbi said, now watch this. But what happened is actually incredible. He accidentally eats blood. He accidentally eats dam. He wants to now bring a carbon chatos because he accidentally ate dam. So Rabbi said, can we accept his chatos for his blood consumption or not? Look at Rashi. It's almost right across in Rashi. Vehevi karban al dam sheshagagbo ve'ilo haya yodeh shuhaya dam lahaya ochlo. So we'll say, had he known that what he was eating was blood, right? He thought it was fruit punch, whatever it was, right? So we'll say, had he known that it was dam, he would have never eaten it. So watch this. Can he bring a chatas? Latanakama mumer shmo v'lo mekabli b'meir. So I say, according to the Tanakama, Me'am ha'aretz teaches us that a mumer is not permitted to bring a chatos. Sivna l'ginavosta, he's not a mumer to eat dam, he's a mumer to eat chelev. The Tanakama would still say he cannot go ahead and bring a chatos. Rav Shimon, but according to Rav Shimon, he can bring a chatos. Why? Why, Rabosai? Because had you stopped him before he drank the blood and told him, hey, Chaim Yankel, that is not fruit punch, it's blood. What would he have done? He would have put it back down. Even though he's a mumer abosai for chelev, he's not a mumer for dam. And had he known that what he was about to eat was dam, halacha maaseh would have never eaten it. He can't bring a carbon chatas. So as I say, ultimately again, this means the nafkamina ultimately in Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon. To which the Gemara says, chada bechatas, vechada ba'ola. So as I say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, they will say one limud. So in other words, we essentially have two limudim, I will say, to teach us the same exact thing. If you look at Rashi, Mikem below kulchem de la'el, it's actually, it's in the Divrei Hamaskil, the heavy carbon al adam, it's in the two dots in that Rashi. Mikem below kulchem de la'el, ba'olas nedava, mishtaikra, dechsib basreim ola carbon. So we'll say, so what's interesting is as follows. We now have two psukim that essentially tell us that a mummer is not permitted to bring a carbon. One pasuk is by chatos, one pasuk is by ola. And the obvious shayla is what I will say. Why do I need both? Or just teach me that a mummer can't bring a carbon in one context. And again, logically, I would extrapolate that halacha to apply to other carbonic contexts as well. Why do I need both? Chad bechatas v'chad ala, I'll tell you why. Utsrichi, here's why you need Abba saying. Diash minen chatas mishum de la kaparuhu. Because it will say, ultimately again, I would have thought that if we just would have learned that a mummer can't bring a chatas, oh, of course a mummer can't bring a chatas. Why Abba say? Because a chatas is for atonement. Abba say, who is atonement reserved for? Who is it reserved for? For people who don't intentionally sin. But if a person intentionally sins, the karban chatas is not for you. That's why a mummer can't bring a chatos, but maybe by ola he's permitted to. Aval ola the daranu ema lekabel mine. By ola, which is a gift offering, maybe you should accept that even from a mummer. V'yashmu inon ola, and Rabbi said, would have just told me that we don't accept an ola from a mummer. Mishum delav chiyuvu, because Rabbi said ola in this context as in a davar offering, it's not obligatory. Maybe because it's not obligatory, therefore what? We can't accept it from him. Avachadas dechiyuvuhu, I'm sorry, we can't accept it from him. Avachadas dechiyuvuhu, emel akabam, meaning, they will say maybe by achatos, ultimately again, which is obligatory, maybe we should ultimately accept it from the mummer. Therefore, tzicha. Therefore, Rabbi said, I need both cases of both the chatas and all to tell me in both of those situations, I do not accept the carbon from the mummer. So the Gemara says, okay, Rabbi said, now we're looping back to another detail from the previous drasha. If you remember again, going back to Amud Aleph, so the Gemara darshined from the pasuk of Minha Behema, from the phrase Minha Behema, it teaches us that what? That even if a person who is like a Behema wants to offer a carbon, we accept it from him. We'll say, who is a person who is like a behemoth? Who's who is like a behemoth? What are the Gemara Darshan? Someone who doesn't do mitzvahs. Someone who doesn't do mitzvahs is like a behemoth. Right? Again, I will say, understand, it's just a statement of fact. If I don't have spirituality in my life, I'm a physical being, then by definition, I'm an animal. I'm an animal. So we said that what? We can accept karbanos even from people who are like animals. So we'll say, so the Gemara has an interesting kasha. Are you telling me then, telling me then that every time you see animal mentioned in the same sentence as a human being, that it's coming to refer to, in a negative way, in a disparaging way, to a type of person who's like an animal. So I'm going to show you examples of where you have both a mention of people and animals, and yet what? It's not disparaging. Vaksiv, adab umbehema, toshia Hashem. Right? We'll say the pasuk says, a person and an animal, right, will be saved by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi says here, it's not referring disparagingly to a person who doesn't have spirituality. In fact, just the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda says, who's the Adam Ubehema? Watch this. So who does this refer to? Elu b'nei Adam, shein arumin bedas. So Rabbi says this refers to people who are exceptionally wise. Umasimin asman kibehema. But they are humble like animals. They humble themselves like animals. So what they say, see from here, in this context, the juxtaposition of an animal to a person is actually lishvach, is actually as a praise to people who are exceptionally wise, but humble themselves like animals. To which the Gemara says, Hasam ksiv Adam ubehema. We'll say in that pasuk by Tzidchascha, what does it say? Adam ubehema. Right? However, again, hacha, Behema lichudaksid. The pasuk by the ola, the pasuk by the carbon, it said behema by itself. When you find apparently behema by itself, that's a reference to people who unfortunately conduct themselves like animals. i.e. without spirituality. When you find an Adam u'behema, that could be understood as the Gemara dashes it to a person who is wise but yet humbles himself like an animal. Adam u'behema mal yusihi. So now you're telling me that every time that it says Adam u'behema, that's a praise? That refers to a person who is wise like a human being but humble like an animal? But what about this? V'chaksiv, v'zarati es beis Yisrael, zera Adam u'zera behema. But also what the pasuk over here says, in Yirmiyahu, speaking about destruction, hine yamin banu Hashem, v'zarati es beis Yisrael, v'es beis Yud, zera Adam, v'zera behema. Right, talking about the dispersion. Ultimately, again, of Klal Yisrael, we'll say, if we look at Rashi, zera behema, u'makmino lebi masechah sota, lo karav, lo shanav, lo shimish, shalim di chacham, alav ha-kasuv, v'zarati es beis Yisrael, zera adum, zera behema, kolomar, ha-chachamim va-aborim, kulam azar. We'll say, so when the pasuk is, v'zarati es beis Yisrael, I will disperse b'nei Yisrael, who does that refer to? Zera adam, v'zera behema. We'll say, the seed of man and the seed of animals. What is that talking about? So Rashi goes to the Gemara that says, zera behema in this context means people, again, who are like behemoths. People who have no spirituality. So you see that what? Even when it's zera adam zera behema, see, we wanted to say before from the pasuk of Tzidchascha, then when it's what? When it's adam ubehema, it's talking about people who are humble like animals. What do we see from this pasuk? We ultimately see that what? Even when human beings and animals are separated, the animals still refer to who? Still refer to base people without spirituality, to which the Gemara says, no. Ha chalkei kra. We'll say, there the pasuk separates them. Zera adam lochod, v'zera behema lochod. Ultimately, the Gemara will say, there the pasuk separates them, the seed of animals one way, the seed of behemoths another way. Good. So we'll say, so that ends that sugyo. So we'll say, so what comes out of here, the takeaway is, just from the halachic perspective, we saw, again, this is riveting Gemara, you begin to see a lot of stuff. So first of all, we're exposed to this idea, that what? That halacha l'maisa, we do not accept, although we accept karbanos, miposhei Yisrael. We accept karbanos from sinners. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole body of karbanos that are devoted to sinners. Why do we accept karbanos from sinners? Because ultimately, I want to facilitate tshuva. But there are certain people, I'll say, whose actions have so profoundly and severely separated them from their creator that we cannot accept their karbanos. I'll say, and I want to be clear about this. When we say we can't accept their karbanos, what does it mean? We can't accept their karbanos until when? Until when? Until they decide to do the tshuva. Until they do tshuva. I want to be clear, we're only not accepting the karbanos of a mummer when a mummer decides to remain a mummer. The moment that a mummer decides to do tshuva and change his ways, of course, we accept this karbanos with open arms. It's just, we'll say, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't be a mummer la'avodas kochavim. You can't be a mummer even la'davar echad in certain things and have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you want, change yourself and the door is absolutely open. But we'll say, for our purposes of Maseches Chulin, what's the most important halachic takeaway we've had so far? Amumer la'avodas kochavim, shchita zo eina ksheira. We do not accept the shchita of a mumer la'avodas kochavim. It seems to be in that same vein. Mumer l'chal Shabbos befarhesya will be the same way also, because he's also always grouped together with a mumer la'avodas kochavim, rejecting Rav Anan's approach. Fine. We'll say, now we come back to another interesting point. I'm Rav Chanan, I'm Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, I'm Rav Yoshua Ben Levi. Here we go. We'll just another few minutes. We'll say, this is a dramatic sugya. Get ready for this. Rabbi Gamil Ubeis Dino, Nimnu Ashritas Kusi Vasur. We'll say, if you remember again, based on one of the interpretations of the Mishnah, we spoke about the Shrita of a Kusi. And it sounded like what? The Shrita of a Kusi was kosher. We'll say, why is the Shrita of a Kusi kosher? Why? Because apparently, kusim observe the mitzvah of shechita. And one of the things we've seen about kusim is that what? Although they don't accept everything, whatever they do accept, they are exceptionally meticulous about it. Remember, again, if you wanted to see if the shechita was good of the kusi, how do you test that? Right? Give him something. If he'll eat of the shechita, then it's good. If you want of the shechita, it's not good. So we'll say, so therefore, aloch lemaisa. So now, okay, so we established before that shechita's kusi was good. Says the Gemara something dramatically amazing. Rav Chanan said in Rav Yaakov, Rav Idi said in Rav Shom and Levi, Mishum Bar Kafra, Rav Gamil Ubeis Dino, Nimnu Ashchitas Kusi, V'asrua. Rav said Rav Gamil and his Beis Din, so Rav said Rav Gamil apparently went ahead and gathered together a Beis Din that was of larger number and larger wisdom and redacted that halacha. He said that we do not eat of the Shechit of a Kusi. We will not eat to the shechit of a kusi. Right? Nimnu al shechit ras kusi va'asrua. Rabbi Yosef, if you look at Rashi, Rashi Rabbi Gamliel, Benosha Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi Gamliel was the son of Yehuda Anasi, Shemin Achronim Beisdino, Nimnu al shechit ras kusi la'achar shenishtas mishnasenu, ta'kol shochtin, ve'afilu kusi. Rabbi Yosef, this is amazing. So watch this. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who is the codifier of the Mishnayis, he paskin in the Mishnah that what? Ha'kol shochtin, afilu what? Afilu kusi. Rabbi Gamliel, his son, got together his Beis Din. Rabbi Yosef was of greater number and greater wisdom. And what happened? Passed another halacha. A modification halacha said, no, shechitas kusi is no good. You cannot eat of the shechita of a kusi. Watch this, Rabbi Yosef. This is amazing. Amali Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. So Rabbi Yosef, so remember again, we have to get the names here right. Remember, this is Rav Hanan Bar Yaakov. Rav Hanan sending Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. To Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So we'll say, Mishum bar Kafra. Says all over the name of bar Kafra. So that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din got together and rejected the Shechit of a Kusi. Amarli Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi. So we'll say, Rabbi Zera was a Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi. And Rabbi Zera, the Talmud, says to his Rabbi, Shema lo shama Rabbi, Ela b'she'en Yisrael omit al gabov. So we'll say, Rabbi Zera says to his Rebbe, remember again, his Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, is just the one who said over that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din got together and said that the Shechita of a Kusi is not good. Rabbi Zera says, Rebbe, maybe you misunderstood, and maybe the only time that Rabbi Gamliel said that the Shechita of a Kusi is not good is when, Ela b'she'ein Yisrael omit al gabov. Maybe the Shechita of a Kusi, I will say, is not good when there's no Yiddish HaMashkiach, right? When there's no Yisrael standing over the Kusi. But if there's Yisrael standing over the Kusi, there's Yisrael HaMashkiach, then what? Then the Shechita of the Kusi will be absolutely good. So we'll say, to which Rav Yaakov Bar Idi says, Amar Lei, Dami Hai Mirabanan, Kidalo Gemiri Inchi. Unfortunately, Kidalo Gemiri Inchi Shmaita. Right? Ultimately, again, or Kidalo Gemiri. Right? Ultimately, it appears that my Talmud, Rabbi Zira, is like an unlearned person. Which also has another way of saying, what a ridiculous question. So you want to say, it's interesting, by the way, sometimes, you know, we like to say, every question is a good question. So for anything, it's not true, right? There are some bad questions, right? There are some negative, we don't say that, but apparently in the Gemara, they have to make a point. So, Dami Hai Mirabana Kidlo Gemiri Inshi. So we'll say, so Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi says, my Talmud Rab Zera asked the question like someone ultimately, again, who was unlearned. So the Gemara said, "B'she'en Yisrael omid agabav l'meim rabbi." Supposed to say, it goes without saying, supposed to say, that remember again, the whole way that a kusi shechita was only permitted in the beginning, supposed to say, was Yisrael omid agabav. Remember again, supposed to say, when we modify this, according to the opinion of the Mishnah, I said that a kol shochtin came to include a shechitas kusi from the beginning, even when the Mishnah allowed Shechitas Kusi, that was only when Yisrael was standing over the Kusi. That was always part of the equation. Now, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi is coming along and saying that Rabbi Gamliel said, we no longer accept the Shechita of the Kusi, even with the Yisrael Omeid Al Gabov. To which the Gemara says, Kibla Minei, O Lo Kibna Minei. So both say, here's the Shaila. Did Rabbi Zera accept this or not? So now, what you have over here is Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi the Rebbe telling his Talmud Rabbi Zera that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din came along and redacted the halacha. And they said that at this point in time, although Rebbe in the Mishnah permitted the Shechita of a Kusi, Rabbi Gamliel, Rebbe's son, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's son, came along, convened his Beis Din, and said that the Shechita of a Kusi is asur under all circumstances. So Rabbi Yosef said, now, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi explained this to his Talmud Rabbi Zera. Now what's the Shaila? Did Rabbi Zera accept this or not? Did Rabbi Zera accept this new formulated halacha or not? So Rabbi Yosef, here we go. Tashma. Dom Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchok Am Rab Asi. Ani Re'isi Es Rabbi Yochanan. Sha'achal Meshchitas Kusi. This is amazing. So what happens? Rab Asi says, I saw Rabbi Yochanan eat from the Shechita of a Kusi. I saw him do it. V'af Rab Asi Achal Meshchitas Kusi. And I saw Rab Asi eat from the Shechita of a Kusi as well. V'toi ba
V'taybar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi said Rabbi Zera wondered about this. Rashi said V'taybar Rabbi Zera. Garcina with miyale shachloim by the believer. So said Rabbi Zera wondered about this. How are they eating the shechita of a kusi? So remember again, why is Rabbi Zera bothered by this? Why? Because Rabbi Zera heard from his Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, that the halacha was that what? You can no longer eat from the shechita of a kusi. Yet Rabbi Zera, of course, is going to do whatever his Rebbe says, but he sees these other people who are not paskening like Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. So what's going on over here? So Rabbi Zera wonders, why are these great Rabbanim eating from the shechita of a kusi? Now there are two possibilities. Possibility one is, lo shmiya lohu. We'll say possibility one is that what? We'll say again, remember, word travels slowly in Talmudic times. So it's possible that they just never heard the statement of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. They never heard that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din got back together and re-legislated the law that you can't eat the shechita of a kusi. And therefore, because they never heard it, they're still eating it. They still assume that what? The halacha is as expressed in the Mishnah. Lo havishmilu. Because certainly what I will say, had they heard that the halacha was like Rabbi Gamliel, that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din got back together and said, you can't eat the shechita of a kusi, of course they would not be eating it. So that's one possibility. They're eating the shechita of a kusi, I will say, why? Because they just never heard. Oh, Dilma, Shmielu, Velo Kablua. Or I will say, no. Maybe what? Maybe they heard it, but they still rejected it. They still rejected it. I will say, now that's going to be a bit more interesting in terms of how they could reject it. We'll get into the mechanics of this. Maybe they heard about it, but they rejected it. So we'll say, Hadir Pashat Lenafshei. So we'll say, Rabbi Zera then kind of worked this out a little bit later on. And he said, Pashat Lenafshei, Mistabra, Dishmilahu, Velo Kablua. But we'll say, it must be that they heard, these other Rabbanim heard what Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said. That Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din said that you can't eat the shechita of the kusi, but what? Velo kablua. They did not accept this halacha. They didn't accept it. They still held that the shechita of the kusi was good. Because we'll say, if you would think that what? That they just never heard that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din got back together and apaskind that the shechita of the kusi is aser. And had they heard that the shechita of the kusi was not good, they certainly would have accepted it. Heichi mistaya milsa lemechal isura. Rabbi said, then it turns out that what? It turns out that in fact these great Rabbanim, Rabbi said, were what? Were in essence eating something that was aser. As Rabbi said, had it been that had they known about the halacha of shechitas kusi, they would not have eaten shechitas kusi. But now because they didn't hear about it, they're eating it. It turns out that in fact they're really eating something that is aser. But how could that be, Rabbi said? After all, hashta. Rabbi will say, if the animals of tzaddikim do not eat anything that is prohibited, we're going to see what that means in tomorrow's daf. If the animals of tzaddikim don't eat anything prohibited, then what? Then Rabbi will say, ultimately, again, certainly tzaddikim themselves, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, would never allow them to do something that ultimately, again, was prohibited. Type of vav. V'sakadaitcha lo kabla minei. And if ultimately, again, you would think that what? These Rabbanim did not accept the Psak Halacha. Lishneile kan kishe Yisrael omid al gabav. Kan kishe en Yisrael omid al gabav. Then I will say, then what? Then the way they should have taught the Halacha is what? Or Rabbi Zero could have said, oh, it must be that what? These Rabbanim are eating of the Shechita of a Kusi. Why? Because there was a Jewish Mashkiach. But if there wasn't a Jewish Mashkiach, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, that's why you can't eat the shechita of a kusi. These rabbis must have been eating the shechita of a kusi when? When halacha lemaisa, again, there was a Jewish mashgiach. That's how they were able to eat it. Elav shmamina, kabla minei shmamina. Rather, Rabbi say, so again, for our purposes, leaving aside the other rabban, Rabbi say, it becomes clear that what? Rabbi Zera did in fact accept the psak halacha of his Rebbe. He did in fact accept the psak halacha that Rabbi say, that halacha lemaisa. Again, the shechitas, remember again, just to trace this through. So we have the Mishnah that tells us that the shechita of a kusi is permitted. Albeit the shechita qualifies this statement by saying, what Rabbi say? That it is only when Yisrael omeid al gabon. Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din come along and say that halacha lemaisa, the shechita of a kusi is aser under all circumstances. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi teaches this to his Talmud Rabbi Zera. And remember again, we were trying to figure out, did Rabbi Zera accept this psak halacha from his Rebbe, and it becomes clear that what? Rabbi Zera did accept the psak halacha. Well, we don't know is what? What we don't know is what? What about the other Rabbanim? So we'll say Mir Hashem, that we will see Mir Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach. We'll say just a reminder, Hanukkah schedule is the daf begins at 5:45 a.m. There is... Stop moving your chairs for 30 seconds. Right? So again, daf yomi schedule, so Hanukkah schedule is that the daf yomi begins at 5:45 a.m. Shacharis is at 6:30 a.m. throughout Hanukkah. Chovas HaTamidim and Mir Hashem will resume after Hanukkah. Shkoyach.